are tuned in to Multisport Media with your hosts, Luke De Benedictus and Jack Carpenter.
Brilliant. Today we are joined by Annie Doobie, fresh back in the US from Abu Dhabi, World Spartan Race World Championships out there, and fresh off an amazing season of Spartan racing, including some absolutely epic results. Annie, how are you doing?
Doing well. It's great to meet you virtually, and excited to chat more about the race. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, lovely to meet you as well. Excited to hear more about your experience in the desert. Obviously, Spartan have released a lovely little highlight video, albeit a little later than the gentleman's one. They've put it out there now. So we're going to have a little watch along with this in the background and then kind of reference how the race went for you. So obviously, Abu Dhabi, did you have any reservations about heading out to Abu Dhabi, or was it just a case of, yes, let's go to the desert?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the whole year leading up to this event, it was kind of up in the air. It was never really like on the calendar, you know, etched in stone for me. It was like more of, oh, if it happens and if it all comes together, it'll be a fun thing to tack on at the end of what hopefully would turn out to be an awesome season. But yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty adventurous person, and like traveling across the world, like for a race like this, was never something I ever anticipated being able to do up until like a few months ago. So honestly, like I didn't really know what to expect, and I kind of just went into it with an open mind. And it kind of, it actually blew my mind being out there. Like the desert, the dunes, everything was just pretty incredible. Like, yeah. I don't know.
All right, so there we go. See a shot of you on the start line with your hydration vest on. But yeah, like you're saying, it's been pretty crazy this year. We didn't know if anybody was going to be there, if this race was even going to like fully happen until Spartan made it happen. What was it like standing on that start line while we're just watching a few pictures? Were you kind of nervous, or were you just excited to get out there?
Yeah, it was like kind of a whirlwind of a couple days leading up to that moment. And honestly, like the whole morning that day, I was kind of just like trying to get myself together physically and mentally, because as you know, like most of us had kind of a rough night, and then even like a rough couple of days with all the travel and the time zones and like, oh, just like the chaos of everything going down. So I didn't even really have a chance to get into race mode until pretty much standing on that start line. So it kind of hit me right when like all the athletes started coming out of their tent for the first time the afternoon, that I was like, oh crap, this is actually happening. And like, I got to get it together and kind of just like focus. So yeah, it was kind of like good and bad. Like it kind of took away the race nerves with all the chaos of everything else. But it's just kind of like different than any other race for sure.
No, yeah, definitely. I think the sleep the night before is a quite notorious thing for anybody who was out there. There was almost no sleep before. And I came from the UK, so I only probably had about 6-7 hours of travel. What was your total travel time?
I think it was like around 18 hours between the two flights and then like a quick layover. Then. Yeah.
Oh, so we're seeing some shots here. Is that Miriam, who has gone absolutely steaming off the start line there? That's pretty crazy, yeah. Are you down there in the front pack, I think? Is that the blue shirt?
Yeah, that's me kind of in the front of that second, that like chase pack, yeah.
Oh, nice, good. And so, yeah, the start, nice kind of little start, flat off, and then we hit some of the walls, and then we hit some of the sand. What was the first realization that this was going to be quite a sloggy, sand, slow race? Was it after the walls when you started hitting that first little bit of upwards?
Yeah, upwards I would say this part here was actually like some good running. It was, it was quick. You weren't sinking in too much. I had done a couple shakeout runs like the day leading up at the venue, and I kind of knew what I was in for. So knowing that this part was pretty flat and pretty compact sand, I wanted to just like use it as a chance to get out until we hit. Yeah, I want to say it was right around here, that first or second overwall where we hit the deeper, steeper sand.
Yeah, you can kind of see from these angles that the sand's already indented quite a lot because the guys have gone through not that long ago. But you can see it is pretty deep, and it did get quite obvious right here that this was going to be the style of the race. It wasn't going to be a super fast. It was going to be a bit more of a slog, bit of a grind of a race. How did you find this kind of first half then before we hit, you kind of hit the salt flats, which were slightly runnable, but there wasn't enough of those. Was this bit a nice start to the race for you, or kind of just bedding yourself in, getting to know like, right, I want to be around Lindsay, I want to be around Emma. Was that kind of your thoughts?
Yeah, I think at first I found myself in that pack, and I did my best to try and just settle into that pace that they were setting. Wanted to make like keep contact with them, as I knew Lindsay would be, you know, someone who's going to end up in the front eventually. So I figured keeping with her, keeping with Emma would be a good place to be. But it didn't take long. I want to say a few minutes after this section, the heat really got to me. And that's when I decided, you know, they're really pushing the pace, and it's a long race. And I knew that, that if I, you know, overdid it this early on, there was a chance I'd be cramping later. And I just didn't want to have like a repeat of the US Utah race earlier this year where I was falling apart at the end. I wanted to finish strong. So that's when I kind of made the decision to pull back a little bit.
No, I guess it's a good decision. I think a lot of people had those moments in this race where they had to make a call either way. Like, am I going to do damage to myself if I kind of keep a normal pace or a higher pace than I would, or do I make the sensible decision and pull back like 30 seconds a mile and try and ease myself into it? So yeah, I think a lot of people made that. Obviously Miriam went straight out for it. She's all the way over there, but you seem to have caught up quite quickly down on the monkey bars. What about these monkey bars? Did they catch you out a little bit because they had the up down mode, the beast mode is what Spartan call it?
No, the only thing about these was like starting on those low buckets, you're not really able to like swing into the bars with momentum. So you're kind of starting at a dead hang, which is something I'm not really familiar with. So you do have to like kind of pump your legs to get like more of a lache going. But other than that, I think that it was pretty standard monkey bars. Yeah.
And given, obviously, in this little pack, you've got a couple of the Russian girls as well. How well did you know the international competition? Were you aware of Miriam? I guess she's raced in the US a couple of times, but maybe Alyssa Petrova and the other Russian girls, were you aware that they were going to be up there?
Yeah, so I've raced Miriam a few times. So I knew she would be quick. She's definitely one of the strongest runners in this field. But tends to be, you know, maybe a little bit weaker on obstacles. So that was one thing I knew. But no, I think the Russian girls, I'm not sure. I don't think I've raced them before. So they were definitely, it was pretty apparent early in the race that those would be, you know, some of the top finishers. So just learning as we went.
No, definitely. It seems to be that quite a lot of the Russian athletes go to Dubai to do the normal Spartan races. So they've got quite a good experience of what's going to be out there, like the terrain as well. I know Alyssa in the yellow there, she had raced both the Spartans leading up to this in Arabia. So she'd been in Dubai, and I think there was one around like Dubai or Abu Dhabi as well. So definitely had the experience. But yeah, this bit again, as you were running here, like where you girls are over running, like the stripey kind of sand, it was a bit harder there. And then it kind of got a little bit thinner as you went up towards the top of that hill. How did, was there any like, right, I'm going to follow somebody's footsteps, or was it just, I'm going to pick my line and I'm going to stick to that kind of thing?
A little bit of both. I found that throughout this race, like it kind of depended on like the grade and like the tight, the softness of the sand, whether you wanted to, like there were moments when I felt that following exactly in someone else's prints was definitely more efficient. Especially more so on like the steeper, more like hiking parts of the dune. But on some of this flat stuff, it actually, I think, was more beneficial to just choose your own line and find like what felt like the most compacted part of the sand. And a lot of times that meant like skirting even like towards the edge of the other prints to find some like untouched sand. Yeah.
So I'm just going to pause it right here so people might be able to see. So here on the sand, kind of to the edge, as you can see, there's kind of like waves. So that was actually a little bit more compact when you were putting your feet on it. So it kind of, you managed to get a bit more of a push off there. So this was just after this section down, you had to come down that hill, which they can see in the background pretty much. You can see just there, people come down to the bucket. How were the obstacles like bucket and sandbag? This one was probably the nicest of the of all the carries, I think, because it was on a flat surface.
Yeah, the bucket was heavy, I'll say that. You know, I think they filled it to the top with sand. I don't even know if there was a difference between the women's and the men's buckets, to be honest. But it was nice. It was nice and flat, so you could definitely keep moving. So that was good. The sand, both sandbags were significantly more brutal in terms of just like sinking into the deep sand and like falling back every step you're taking. Yeah, definitely more exciting carries to come in the race.
We see Emma and Lindsay there taking on nutrition. Did you have a plan in place, or was it, right, I'm going to hydrate when I feel like I need to hydrate? Or was it, right, every 15 minutes, every 10 minutes? What was your nutrition plan in play?
My nutrition plan, I want to say I was trying to get calories in every half hour or so, as far as like gels, but in the heat, I tend to be, like sometimes gels don't go down so well for me. So I had a significant amount of calories in my fluid, which is why I carry probably more than most people. And I was just hydrating early and often, like, I want to say it was 5 minutes or less into the race where I was drinking quite a bit. This first hour was brutally hot. So I think you couldn't drink enough. You're sweating, your sweat's evaporating almost instantly. And at every water station, you can see most of us dumping water on our head just to try and cool off as much as we can. And within 3 minutes, I would say you're bone dry again. So
oh yeah, my thing up to every water station was drink one, put one straight over my head, drink one straight over the head. But it's pretty crazy. It's quite hard. I think a lot of people got caught out by nutrition and how hot it was, and because you're out there in the middle of the desert, there's no shade, there's no hiding from that sun. You're just constantly in the heat. It doesn't matter. Sometimes in other races, you're going into like forest areas, or there's a bit of cover because there's some buildings or something there. Whereas here, it was just open. So it was pretty pretty brutal. So we can kind of see here at the front of the race, you've got Emma, Lindsay, and then I'm guessing you're just a little bit further back from this little pack right now. Is this where you kind of pulled yourself back and thought, right, I'm going to ease myself back and then kind of bring it a little bit later?
Yeah, I think I was at this point kind of on my own, but not really like in no man's land. I was keeping them in my sights.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, there I am. but I actually found it a little bit more relaxing for myself to pull back a little bit and have like more space to figure out, like I could have like more of a visual of the terrain ahead and just decide like what I think the best line is. When you're in that pack, it can be, I found it almost a little bit stressful to have to rely on like what the person right ahead of me was doing and following them, no matter whether they were choosing a good line or not. So, actually thought it was nice to kind of be on my own for a little bit out there.
Yeah, it's good. I think we saw you just in the distance. So it's not like you were miles back. You were literally, you're just there coming into shop now. So you could see all the girls in front of you. And I guess you're probably not drawn into like the pack mentality, right? If somebody's going to speed up, if somebody's going to walk this section, you can kind of make your own decisions about your race per se. Whereas if you're in a pack like that, say right now, Miriam's going to sprint up this hill, is somebody going to fake it and go with her and try and do the same thing and blow up? You never know. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, so as we were talking about the sandbag carry, this kind of looked semi-flat, but it was not flat. It was quite a big gradient going up. With that on your back as well, it was pretty crazy because it was pushing you into the sand and you were feeling it. But so this kind of point, I think we're not even 4 or 5 miles into the race about here. Was there any kind of like thoughts overall about the race going into your mind, or was it just right, keep going, keep pushing, seeing what's going on?
Yeah, I think it's this was the point of the race when we're all kind of just settling in and figuring out, okay, you know, what's going to be the strategy for the next few miles, because we've felt what the terrain's like. We've been in the heat now for, you know, 30, 45 minutes. And I think at this point you kind of know, like, am I going to hold it together or not? So, just kind of keeping one foot in front of the other. And for me, it was, I want to say right around this point where I felt like the gap was growing just enough to where I was like feeling a little bit anxious. And so I had to just keep reminding myself over and over again, like to stay engaged and make sure they're not getting too, too far away. Because it can be really easy when you lose sight of them, to just kind of fall back even further. So,
yeah, we can see you there driving up the hills. You're holding your hip flexors there, putting a lot of pressure on the legs. So yeah, really put some effort in going up that hill. It was pretty crazy. And then back down the other side. After that, it kind of went onto the salt flat. You can see it's quite flattened around this area now. So you could get up a bit more speed. I was very thankful when I got to the salt flat that I could run again without having to really grind. What was it a similar kind of thought going through your head when you hit salt flat? Kind of open up a little bit, at least get their legs moving, make sure that they can feel okay again?
Yeah, I think anytime we were hitting those like hard, compact, you know, like flat sections, it was all about just, you know, picking up the cadence, kind of opening up a little bit more. It wasn't at like, I actually thought that the salt flat sections were, you had to be a little bit careful because there were like those little ridges of salt, like coming out where you did kind of have to make sure you weren't tripping on those. But otherwise it was probably the best running we were going to get all day. So yeah, definitely not laying off the gas too much on those sections and really pushing until you got to that next deep sand.
Yeah, no, definitely. We can see there now they had a lot of drones out there taking footage of everybody. They actually got some really nice shots with these. So you can see the front group just in front of yourself have hit the salt flats here and they're moving pretty well, actually running. Don't look like they're struggling too much, which is good. And then I think we hit Atlas Stone just at the end, and then it was Olympus was the next obstacle after that. So and then it was up to barbed wire and then the rig down into the village again where the spear was. So the spear in the UK, our spear is almost always in the end of the race, almost always. Every race I've done, it's almost been one of the last 3 or 4 obstacles because it creates obviously drama. But this spear, as with some of the races in the US, is it was in the middle. Was that kind of a point in the race that you were thinking ahead, like, right, hit the spear and I'm thinking I can do quite good, or hit the spear and that's a positive thing? Because I know a lot of people base their whole race on missing or making the spear. What's the confidence around the spear for yourself? Are you quite confident with it, or...
It's funny, the spear, for me, because up until a few months ago, I missed almost every single spear throw. And it was like late spring or early summer where I made the decision that, like, if I was going to stay in this sport, I had to figure it out. So I spent like hours and hours just like on repeat, like a robot, like throwing spears day in and day out. And like, eventually I was hitting all of them, and luckily I think I've only missed a spear like once this season. So the practice really paid off for me. And like, I kind of think that was a major point for me in this race, particularly with a lot of the top girls missing. It was like a huge confidence boost for me. So
yeah, no, I think literally the whole top four that came down into there missed.
Yeah.
So if you've come down in like fifth and hit, that's a big one, because I was lucky I hit the spear. I was very worried that I was going to have to do burpees and then got that massive hill. I was looking at it like, oh no, this is going to be bad. But So they've kind of skipped out a little bit of the course here. We missed out the rig with the rings and the ropes, which is actually quite nice to have something completely different per se, not just rings, which could have been easy. So looks like Lindsay's made a little gap over there, and then she's coming into the spear, which we've just been talking about. So it can't be too long for you to enter down to the spear. Now, did you take any places at the spear? Did you manage to get in front of some people, or did you catch up with them up the hill?
Yeah, so I didn't catch Lindsay, but I caught Emma and Alyssa, who were like finishing their burpees as I hit my spear. And then we were kind of all together coming up the massive dune just after that.
Yeah. So you see Lindsay's throwing it towards the thing, but behind her, you see where the tape's going. That is going straight up the dune and then veering off to the right. Yes, that's the dune you can see in the background. We didn't go all the way to the top. We kind of went half up and then veered to the right, but it was very brutal. The sand, you put your foot in the sand and the sand shifted down every time. So just imagine climbing a ladder where it goes down two rungs every time you go up one. It's pretty crazy. Exactly. It was. It was pretty,
the life out of you. Oh my God.
Pretty brutal. Yes, not having to do burpees and then do that probably was a great booster for yourself. So that was a great part of the race, I'm sure, when you hit that spear. Did you have a little cheer, or was it just, right, let's go?
I think I was actually just in shock. Like, I don't know. You can kind of see it on my face. I'm like, oh, wait, like, I just passed a bunch of people. And so at that point, I just was like, all right, I have to go. Like, this is now a race. So from this moment on until the end, like, I was in full race mode.
Yeah, that was a very weird technique. Never seen that before.
That, like,
a lean, very spine orientated. But yeah, so what we're seeing now is the top three women are doing their burpees in different styles as well, trying to save energy or not expend so much. But yeah, burpees as part of a Spartan race are just sapping anyway, no matter where you're doing them. But I think here even more so, just because your legs are taking. Yeah. Yeah, your legs have taken a battering. This is yourself coming in on the rope, making easy work of it.
I can't tell if this is like slow-mo or if I'm
painfully slowly climbing this rope. people watching this back, they were not going this slow. Definitely the run-in looked really slow on these videos, just because it was slower than the normal race watching it. But yeah, no. I'm sure it felt like 2 seconds up, 2 seconds down.
Yeah. Road,
but everything looks like, oh, that looks ages. So that's Miriam as well. So you managed to pass Miriam in between the flat section and the rig.
She kind of popped out of nowhere. Like, I didn't I don't remember passing her, but then we were both at the rope climb. I was like, oh, maybe she must have fallen off something. I'm not sure.
Maybe the rig.
The rig, yeah. Or Z-wall or something.
Well, that was a solid throw. Good hit. There was a little arm celebration on the way around. So, yeah, we could see the other girls, Alyssa and Emma, have just finished their burpees and they're heading up your way. So you were literally probably about second here, I think. Yeah, if Lindsay had just gone up, you were second. So
they catch me coming up here and then we're all together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is when you saw the map at the beginning, there was two kind of loops. So the spear marks the completion of the first loop and then this is the second loop. Yeah. So you kind of go back out and then you come back down this massive dune that they've just traversed right now. But this way you're kind of going over to the right hand of it and then you come back down into that village again, mm-hmm. which is was pretty crazy coming down that. You can see now in the dark, I think pretty much half and half of the men's field, the first probably about 20 finished in the light, give or take. But the rest, like the back half of the men or middle to the end of the men, were finishing in the dark. And I think all the girls finished in the dark as well. Did you have your head torch ready?
I had it in my vest, but I actually never took it out. I don't know. I think I was just lazy. And also, like, I thought I was closer to the finish than I was at the point where, like, we really should have, you know, taken our lights out. But so I climbed that whole, like, steep section of the last dune in like pitch darkness. Which I part of me was like, oh, that probably wasn't the smartest, but also, I think in a way it allowed me to kind of gain some ground on Emma and Alyssa, like without them really being able to see me. So who knows? Maybe it was like a good strategy.
Just stealth in the night, moving through the sand. Although to be fair, you were quite right. When you got round to the back end, it seemed like, right, I can see the flags, they're over there. And we ended up going like right, left. Then there was an obstacle. Then we went off for a sandbag and I was like, oh my God, I can see them. They're there. We're going a long way around, but this kind of part of the course wasn't as obstacle dense as what we just did. There was a lot more of this style kind of sand dunes, and then you came across this salt flat into probably what was the most brutal part of the race for myself. When you got past here was the cliff climb. You can kind of see in the background to the left hand side, basically that whole dune all the way up, we had to climb that and there were ropes at the top. How did you kind of find that part of the race? Because it was pretty brutal.
Oh man, it was so, so rough. Like I thought that first climb out of the festival was bad. And then we got to that and it was 10 times worse. I don't know if it was that much steeper or if the sand was just so much softer, but like, I swear I was like sliding down more than I was climbing up, like on several sections of that. So it was not fun.
No, that was the most brutal part of the race for me. But I think what kind of seemed as well, it was deceiving because they had the ropes about, they were only like 1/4 of the way down. So it was quite far up before you even got to the ropes. But exactly. Then I got on the rope and didn't help at all. It felt like I was in a worse position because I was standing and the sand was sliding. I was using more of my arms to try and pull. Oh, it was a world of pain. It was not fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's almost like you're, like, when you're on your all fours and you're, like, bear crawling, it's almost like your hands are doing more work than your feet because you're just, like, clawing into the sand. So once you're standing up, it's like, oh, I can finally breathe now, but I feel like you're not actually making up as much ground.
No. Yeah, this was the kind of style that everybody kind of went for most of these climbs that were almost straight up. You can see there just under Lindsay's feet, the sand is just giving way. It's brutal. It felt like it took an age to get up this hill. I was in like a mental world of pain. For yourself, how did the race go mentally? Was it were there a load of tough moments that you kind of thought, right, I've got to keep going? Or was that kind of, did you just feel it was okay? Or what was it mentally for you?
Yeah, so you can see here, I'm like, this is the point, I want to say, like, between that first massive climb out of the festival and then the cliff climb, like, I was feeling really good because the sun was finally off of, like, our heads. Yeah. And I felt, like, reinvigorated at that point, just, like, not being feeling overheated anymore. So I was really, like, pushing the pedal at that point. And then we hit this and it was like, oh, damn it. Like, I just made all this progress and now I'm just like losing ground because Emma and Alyssa get up this way faster than I did. So that was kind of like really mentally tough to like have put in all that work in the past like couple miles. And then you get here and you're just like losing all of that ground you just made up. So it was tough. But I get through it. I recover. It takes me a little bit to recover from this. And then I put in another surge once it flattens out again.
Yeah, I think I want to say this is the last kind of real big hill, but there were little kickers at the back end as you were going towards the finished drop. So there were a few other uphills to do, but this was the last, like, hands and knees crawling, I would say. You can see there's tough. You're parting a couple of guys there, and there's the ropes. So they were there, and it was kind of like a hope in your mind, like, right, can I reach that rope? Is it going to be possible? It was, yeah, pretty brutal. But so here you're pretty much embroiled in the battle for the podium. Did you kind of know now that this is right? It's us four. It's us three and Lindsay, basically. Did you kind of have that thought here?
Yeah.
There must have been a little bit of a gap because I think Miriam missed her spear and then she was a bit further back. So there must have been a bit of time. So that was kind of good. So, yeah, you're pretty much touching distance to the other girls just here coming up. You can see as they've gone to a bit of a wide shot, the kind of next phase is going to be again through the dunes up through slow runnable sand. I wouldn't call it runnable, but you also
kind
mentioned there about the,
yeah
kind of like shuffle run, but you also mentioned there about the sun going down and people kind of finding that second wind. Mm-hmm. Now I think that happened to a lot of people when the sun went down. They kind of found, right, I can run, the heat isn't getting me down as much. So is that what do you think that was like the big thing for yourself, that you kind of just felt a lot better?
Oh yeah, it was huge. I am so glad that they started us after, like, as opposed to what we were originally scheduled to start, like, I think an hour earlier than we did. So I think the race might have ended very differently for me had that been the case, just because the heat was really taking a toll on me. I don't know how the other top women felt, but for me, it was like affecting my, like, my feet were feeling like tons of hot spots early in the race. And I felt like it was like sucking like the life out of me because the sun was just beating down on our heads. And I couldn't stay hydrated enough. So, once that sun started dipping down, I was thrilled. And, I took some nutrition in, got some, caffeine in me. And then I felt like I could go on another, you know, however long, a couple hours it took. So, yeah, definitely.
No, yeah, I think the sun kind of played with people's minds because, as you're saying, it's very hard to keep like the nutrition in because you're so hot, you're basically sweating it out as quickly as you can replenish it. So here you said you obviously took some nutrition on and it probably actually stayed in your body a bit longer. You're obviously still putting out a lot of effort, sweating those, but it probably kind of held and stuck around a little bit. So yeah, we're back to the shuffle sand right here, which you can kind of see from the aerial shots. There's a path where the guys had gone just before, so they've been pretty much pushed down, but still quite deep sand. It wasn't firm at all, and you're right there, fourth position at the moment, just making it up the hill.
Yeah, I think this was right when I was starting to feel recovered from that like redlining effort we just went through, and I'll start closing the gap right around here. And just, I think it was this point in the race where the sun was going down and you're in this like endless, all you can see is dunes ahead of you and like these like amazing ridgelines. And it was just, it was actually awesome to just like take it all in and kind of appreciate where you are for a moment. And it kind of makes you forget how much pain you're in. So definitely would say that this like landscape itself was just such an epic part of the race.
Amazing. Excellent. Yeah. So talking about the landscape, it was an amazing location for a race, like nothing most people have ever done before, unless it's kind of like a marathon to Saab kind of affair. I don't think many people have been to this vast desert to do a kind of race. Was that a kind of like the allure of doing the race as well, to go somewhere that is an amazing location that not many people have been to?
Totally. And like, I would say, you know, I expected it to be pretty cool. Like, you know, you look up photos of it and you hear about like how big the dunes are, but it's really like photos, videos don't do it justice until you're really there and you see just how amazing, like it's just like for all that you can see, it's just dunes and like the horizon, and it's unreal is what it is. It's like, just, it feels like you're on Mars.
It's pretty crazy. And you can kind of see, they got a video of Lindsay coming down this massive dune. So this is the finish kind of section with the last three obstacles. But it, again, they didn't really do that dune justice because it was huge. But how much relief did you go through when you got to the top of that dune? I felt so good. When I got to the top there, I was like, looked over, I was like, if I need to roll down this, I'm going to roll down. It doesn't matter. I've
totally
made it.
Totally. That was my thought exactly. I was like, I'm sending this. And if, you know, if I face plant and roll down the hill, what's the, you know, it's like,
it's all good.
Pretty low risk.
No, definitely. And then they got the kind of like finished little gauntlet. I guess this was the one obstacle right at the end where it was kind of make or break. Like, it could be a failable obstacle. So they made it semi-tough. It had monkey bars, twister, rings. And I think probably much the main bit was here. The transition between the monkey bars and the twister was probably the tough part, just to make sure that you got on twister and got in your position. How do you normally do twister? Do you go backwards? Are you a swing through on twister? What's the twister style for you?
I think I always go forward. I don't know. I guess I just haven't had the chance to try like transitioning from like forward to backwards. I'm not sure. Like, maybe if I got the chance to do that outside of a race, I could figure it out. But the thought of doing that like mid race seems a little bit stressful. So I know. Go swinging forward through it.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. And this bit was right here where I think, look, Lindsay looks like she's finished. I think everybody ran through there and thought, oh, this is the finish line. I did exactly the same. I got to the end and I was like, oh, it's around the corner.
You forget that you have to turn back.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knew that, because we're so used to the fire jump being like almost pretty much the last obstacle. It is the finish. So that was pretty pretty funny just to see everybody stop there. Like, what's going on?
I think Ryan did the same thing. It's like funny to watch it back.
I've seen his video and he does it. So here you are. Bye here. How? Oh, so Alyssa's right there next to you. I see she's on the back. So this looks like a pretty much tense race between you guys.
I think that was actually.
Was that Guy?
Emma.
Was that Emma?
I don't know. I think Emma was a bit behind me. And then she comes through here and slips on the ring. And then while she's on the penalty loop, Alyssa comes. Oh, wait, no, here's Emma. That must have been one of the men with me in the bag. Yeah.
So you had a sizable gap then, pretty much one obstacle kind of gap between you and the next female. Mm-hmm. So pretty sizable kind of gap. Did you, once you made it through the rig, were you pretty content then? That you were like, right, I've taken second, I've sealed this podium spot.
Yeah, I was pretty sure at that point that I had it, but honestly, from the time I got to the top of that dune until mm-hmm. the finish line, I just didn't look back because I knew there was a chance that they were right behind me and I didn't want to even like waste a second. So I just went for it at that point. And I really, like, it wasn't until I crossed the finish line that I looked back and I was pretty shocked actually that I didn't see someone else coming in right behind me.
So we've seen you go through, and here's Emma going off on a penalty loop, which must have been a little soul destroying, because that was back up the dune. It was pretty brutal, and you can see Alyssa Petrova's coming down.
Yeah.
So by now you've already finished. What's the kind of emotions at the finish line? Are you ecstatic to get on the podium in second? What's the feel like?
Oh, definitely. I was in shock. Like, I could not believe that I somehow pulled off being, you know, behind that entire, like, strong pack of women for, you know, the whole first half of the race. And then somehow, like, my race strategy, just like the way that I executed it, and then just like a little bit of luck with people missing their spear and you know, some like obstacle issues, like, let me, you know, be able to come out the way that I did out of that race. So I think I was just a little bit shocked and like also just totally depleted. Like, I had zero left in me. I think that had I pushed even like a little bit harder early in the race, I would have fallen apart by the end, because I just, like, I could feel my hamstrings, you know, the moment I crossed the finish line, my hamstrings just like totally seized up. And I had nothing left.
I think a lot of people were talking about this race as like a balancing act between being able to complete the race or to being falling apart. So it was one of those races that really took it out of you and pushed you to kind of to the edge on like a game plan. Are you going to go for it? Are you going to hold off? So it looks like your decision at the beginning of the race to kind of pull back slightly was a great one, because obviously you've powered through from, you were a fifth position when you made that choice and you ended up in second. So it was obviously an amazing kind of feeling to cross that line. So so we're seeing Emma just come back off her penalty loop. So you've already gone through now and your race is done. So we're just going to pause this and jump out of here and then continue chatting. So obviously after that race has been completed for yourself, I'm guessing that's your final race of the season. You're back to America now, bit of an off season. Looking back at your year, obviously you've got Abu Dhabi is a massive highlight. You've got North American champs where you came second as well, I believe, as a massive highlight. How did you find your year of racing, Spartan Races? Obviously, you're on Nicole's OCR Dream Team, I believe, as well. So how did you find this year as an overall kind of thing?
Yeah, it the year was wild. I felt like it was like so much racing, and like it was constantly like, all right, you get through one race and immediately start focusing on the next one without really having a moment to like take it all in. So now that it's all kind of over and I have a little bit of an off season to really reflect on it, it's really nice, because I think it's been go, 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 go without really any sort of break ever. And it's as someone who came from, you know, kind of being more of like a weekend warrior type racer to suddenly being like on the top end of, you know, the sport, it's been such a whirlwind and like and so much to process and like so much to think about and reflect on, and then kind of start strategizing for next year and, you know, what I want to keep doing, what I want to change. So
talking about your schedule, so you said you've not come from a schedule kind of this hectic before, and you've gone into this year having like almost packed schedule. What was kind of like the balancing act with training and injuries? Did you manage to stay the whole year with like only minor little injuries, because everybody gets like little tweaks and certain bits throughout the year that you've got to like work through. But obviously you didn't have any big injuries because you managed to make the whole season. But how was the training kind of juggled around to kind of fit in between? Was it kind of like short weeks, a lot more rest, a lot more recovery and stretching focused?
Yeah, it was kind of all over the place, actually. I would say that the whole like championship season, so starting from probably like just after West Virginia until Abu Dhabi, like I was kind of teetering the line of like, you know, a little bit injured, but like able to train just enough to like keep my fitness good enough to like perform well. It was like, I want to say the day before Big Bear, you know, I thought about pulling the plug because I have like some foot issues going on where when I'm like running sometimes on like super technical terrain, it really flares up and I'm like hobbling. So the day before that race, I kind of had like a rough shakeout run that didn't go so well. And I was like, oh, I don't even know if this is worth it. And then I lucked out and like the day of the race, I didn't have any issues. So I don't know. It's been like a little bit of luck, a little bit of just like awesome, you know, coaching from, you know, my coaches and like being able to know, all right, when do we ease off? When do we, you know, kind of like push the gas more and like, what's the balance that will like, you know, keep me like performing well and improving, but also not like overdoing it and getting overtrained or anything. So I've been pretty lucky. I think there was a few times that looked kind of grim towards the end there. And I think going into next year, that's definitely something I want to think about more. Just like, I think, you know, if I want to be racing at this level, is it sustainable to be racing like every month of the year? I think that's a thing that a lot of us are dealing with, like the Spartan people, at least with like the way they've laid out the season. It's tough. I think they're expecting us to race for so many months and like be all over the country. And it's just like going from like a, you know, a Jacksonville sprint type of race into like a Big Bear, you know, insanely technical mountain race, just a couple months apart from each other. It's a little bit silly in my opinion. So maybe I more like specialize next year or something. I have to think about it. So.
No, yeah, I guess in America, there is obviously so many races throughout the year, and the ones they do pick as your series races are extremely spread out. They see 2022 Jacksonville again is the first race end of February. So if you look at the season, really, if you did Jacksonville last year, you went February to December, which is kind of 10 months, pretty much end of February, beginning of December, 10 months of high intense training, racing all across America, which is not a small country. I do find it a lot easier based in the UK. You can just get around pretty much 2-3 hours. You're at the race. Maybe you have to take a 4-hour flight somewhere once a year. Nice and easy. America, obviously, you're going across country, East Coast, West Coast. You've got mountain races. You've got flat races. It's a lot harder, but just talk about the coaches. Obviously, you've been part of the OCR Dream Team this year. You've had some dedicated coaches, a little bit of like chats with Nicole, I'm sure, hearing about what she's done. How has that really helped you this year to go from what you said, like weekend warrior, to being more at the peak of the sport, the top of the sport this year? Has that been the difference?
I think so. I think, yeah, it's been huge. Having just being able to push like some of the stress and responsibility of like programming onto someone else. Because up until this point, I was self-coached. I don't even know if you could call it that. It was more just like my crazy lifestyle that kept me fit. Just like doing what I thought would be, you know, effective in terms of like progressing in the sport, which I think was getting me pretty far, but It wasn't really like strategic in any way. It was like, okay, I'd go do a race and let's say I thought that, you know, my descending was crap. I'd go and like just work on that for like weeks at a time. Or if I felt like I needed to, you know, work on my speed, I'd just be doing focused on that. Without really like tailored programming or even like strength training. My only strength training was just like going to the rock climbing gym. So it's been huge to have, you know, people assessing like with their expertise, like, okay, here's what you really should be doing. And it's a lot of like focused, you know, not just like focused, like, you know, hard training, but it's also focused like recovery sessions and cross training and all of that kind of stuff, which it's been huge. And then having like Nicole as a mentor, just having like her brain and like her advice on like, you know, everything from like gear to like the mental side of things to just kind of like giving her experience and her like her development in the sport and like laying that on us as like newer athletes has been absolutely incredible.
No, well, it's been amazing. Obviously yourself and Emma have been amazing this year. Podiumed both at Spartan NORAM championships and then second and fourth at the world. So it's obviously paying off having a bit more of a dedicated kind of coaching system. And it does show then that a lot of people that are on that precipice, like obviously a talented athlete before, but with a little bit of guidance per se, you've managed to really turn that talent into progression within sport, and podiums and plenty have come from it. So it just shows for other people, maybe they're just that one little step away, bit of coaching away, or a bit of advice or understanding of how to program. So I think that's a big thing in OCR. There's no real blueprint, let's say, whereas you look at running, there's a lot of things out there to run. You look at other fitness endeavors, there's quite a lot. But OCR, like you say, you can get kind of stuck in, oh, I did really bad at rigs. I'm just going to go do rigs. So I did really bad at carries, so I'm just going to do carries. And then you get to a race that's a flat fast race and you're like, oh no, I'm really heavy because I've done loads of carries,
right?
So yeah, it's obviously having a bit kind of get drawn in. So yeah, having a bit of obviously advice and coaching for yourself has paid off this year, and you've come good and you've gone on to stardom in the sport. And now Annie Doobie is up there in US OCR. So taking that through to next year, 2022, have you got goals? What's the season looking like? Or are you still working through and trying to see what's available? Because you kind of hinted as maybe you'll be looking to do a bit more specialized or specific races, let's say.
Yeah, I haven't fully decided yet. I'm still waiting. I want to know, you know, what the last two races are of the US series. I kind of have an idea what I think they're going to be, but just want to know dates, want to know what all that looks like, and then kind of go from there. I think, you know, in like a perfect world, I'd be able to do like the full Spartan series and also like throw in some Savage races and do OCR Worlds. And I also am like super interested in getting more into more like mountain running. So I would love to do it all, but that's like, it's not realistic. And so I think I just have to, you know, write it all down and then like pick and choose ultimately.
Yeah,
no.
I see Savage have made it a little interesting. They've released their own kind of pro series. So there's a look, which looked like you'd be getting quite a lot of elite athletes to turn their hand to Savage, which is an amazing race that we do wish we could get in Europe. It looks so fun watching the videos. But yeah, I don't know why. I guess I know why Spartan don't say all the races early on. They want to create a bit of excitement. It'd be so much easier to know. Just tell us now. If we knew the races, we could book cheap flights, accommodation. It just makes a lot of things easier. But you never know. They might cotton on in a year or two and start releasing it all as one. But excellent. Well, is there any, obviously OCR Dream Team have been really supportive of you this year. Is there any other sponsors you want to give a bit of a shout out to on the air?
Still working on that.
Is there any sponsors you want to hit up on the air? You want to say, look, Mike, come on down, chat to me. What's the dream brand for you if you were looking for a sponsor, per se? What's the dream?
Oh, man, I don't know.
It's a hard one. Everyone's like, ooh, I could go for a food brand because I could eat a lot of food.
Yeah, I'm like, what's like the best peanut butter brand I can think of right now? Because that's the thing I eat the most.
Hundreds of peanut butter Cliff bars, please. That would be amazing. No, excellent. Well, Annie, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today and relive the race in Abu Dhabi with you. Congratulations on an amazing performance out there and an amazing season altogether. We look forward to seeing you even more amazing things in 2022.
Thank you so much, Luke. It's been awesome to just relive it all and chat. Yeah, so I've loved having the chance to be on your podcast. So thank you so much.
No worries. Thanks a lot again, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks, you too.